Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Monday to you, and welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Wow. Do we have a terrific show for you, and may I just say, over the weekend, I was watching President Trump's arrival into the arena there in Las Vegas. Went down for the big UFC fight night. What an incredible event that was! But the president, when he walked into the arena, it was electric. I have never seen anything quite like this, folks. Just really a remarkable welcome, and the cheering and the applause, and President Trump walking in. I think to Kid Rock's Badass American or something. It was a great song. And the president, as a matter of fact, we've got a little bit of Trump walking into the arena. Do we have that? We have that audio. All right. Well, we'll try to get it to you. But it was just an unbelievable welcome that Trump received. Now, contrast that with what was happening with Joe Biden over the weekend. And Joe Biden went out to the beach there in Delaware, and he's on the beach, and he is wearing some sort of swimsuit slash Depends garment, and he's shuffling along in the sand. And what was really striking to me is that, the man can barely walk. He's shuffling over to his lawn chair. He looks lost. And the beach is packed with people. And nobody's trying to go over and say hello. Nobody's breaching the Secret Service perimeter. There's just nobody cares. Nobody cares. Meanwhile, Trump is walking into this massive auditorium, and he is just beloved by the crowd. And the president looks energetic. He's throwing up the fist, goes over and greets Joe Rogan and does some playful boxing with Joe Rogan. Oh, by the way, Guy Fieri was there. And what a great moment that was. You had the mayor of Flavortown actually greeting the former president of the United States. And that was a big deal. I'll get to the Guy Fieri story in just a moment. But it was people were clamoring to touch the hem of the garment of Donald John Trump. I don't want to get terribly biblical here, but it was really that sort of a moment where people were wanting to come over and shake his hand. He was giving the high fives. And there was a moment after the fight where the fighter literally climbs out of the ring and goes down and wants to meet President Trump. So Dana White, who owns the UFC fighting organization, was asked about this. What's the deal here? What's going on? Cut number 12.
How crazy this guy is. He's driving here. He got here at he got here at like 5:40. He watched the earlier fights on his phone. You know what I mean? It's like he loves the fights. And what's really cool about being a fan of this, the way that he is the fighters all love him too. So he had a blast tonight.
Oh, he was in hog heaven. And I'm wondering, you know, when you see this, I mean, it really is a tale of two presidencies. And I have the video. There's video of both incidents, and both events rather. And it really does show you a tale of two presidencies. And you sit back, and when you watch Joe Biden shuffling along in the sand, pasty white and wrinkled and living in obscurity, there's no way this guy won the presidential election. There's no way. No way whatsoever. And then when you see Donald Trump being greeted like a rock star, look, just a couple of weeks ago in South Carolina, Pickens, South Carolina, 50,000 people turned into the blazing heat. People were dropping, they were dropping on the ground, passing out because of heat stroke, but they refused to leave because they love their president. All right, and what you're hearing right now is that audio from Vegas.
As you might expect for International Fight Week, a lot of people are in the building, but no one needs more security than the former president of the United States, obviously a really good friend of Dana White.
Oh, my word. I mean, listen, he's a massive, massive fight fan, and that just shows.
Okay, enough of that. Thank you. So there you have it. Meanwhile, you got poor little Joe Biden out there, and, I mean, it was pathetic. I mean, look at the video. It was absolutely pathetic, this little pasty, white, wrinkled old man. And nobody even cared that he was there. And you're telling me this guy beat Donald Trump? I don't think so. I just don't see it, folks. Every single time we get the opportunity, these are all reminders that something was not right back in 2020. I'm just telling you, something was not right. I'm not saying how the election got stolen, but you're telling me we're all supposed to believe that Donald Trump got beat by that guy? I don't think so. I've seen more energy in a seal, one of those walruses that has been washed up on the shore, than I saw with Joe Biden. But anyway, back to the South Carolina thing. 50,000 people turn out. Joe Biden can't even cobble together a crowd of a couple of hundred. What's going on here? What's going on? But I'm telling you, there is something about Donald Trump. New survey comes out, a new Republican primary survey comes out. So get this, Ron DeSantis only scoring about 20% of the vote in his home state of Florida. What's going on there? All you Floridians out there, what's going on? What is it that you know about Ron DeSantis that the rest of us do not know about? Because something's not right there. This is from the Sun Sentinel. This is a Florida Atlantic University poll. And what's fascinating about this, and even the local newspapers are reporting this, that Trump is routing Ron DeSantis in Florida. This is Florida Atlantic University. President Trump holding a 20-point lead. Trump getting 50% to 30%. Almost one in five, by the way, almost one in five of Republicans say it is disloyal to vote for a candidate other than Donald Trump. Do you believe that? Do you believe it to be disloyal to vote for someone other than Donald Trump? 844-747-8868. That is our telephone number if you want to call in today. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why, it's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/STARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS. And use the promo code STARNS or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code STARNS.
All right, so during the big Vegas fight night, Guy Fieri was there. You know, I'm going to have to go. Dylan, next time there's a big UFC fight, I'm going to have to fly to Vegas. I got to get down there at ringside. That's all there is to it. Apparently, that's where all the men in America are supposed to be, right? I mean, when you look at UFC, these fighters, it's the most politically incorrect sport in all of America right now, and I love it. It's fantastic. By the way, it's also the only sport that did not shut down during the China virus pandemic. But these, I mean, the reason why the left hates UFC Fight Night is because it's men being men and men behaving like men behave, right? So I'm just telling you, that's the reason why the left hates it. And by the way, and the women are women. So everybody knows when you walk into the arena, you know who the men are, you know who the women are. That's it. And the women are drop-dead gorgeous. So anyway, Guy Fieri was there from Flavortown, the mayor of Flavortown, big Food Network star. Whenever I do a book signing and I'm going into a town, I always check and see if there's a Triple D diner drive-in or dive in the town. And that's where we take our team to go eat. We eat well on our book tours. So anyway, poor Guy Fieri, all he did was go over and he wanted to say hello to President Trump. And President Trump is a gracious man. Guy Fieri was not a big Trump guy back in the day. But look, Trump's a rock star, superstar. Everybody's cheering the guy. So Fieri goes over and they have a very pleasant, very brief conversation. It was not very long at all. But Guy Fieri shaking the president's hand. They're having a good time. And now people are trying to cancel Guy Fieri. They're saying that because Guy Fieri didn't, I don't know, punch President Trump or slap the president, that makes him an evil person. So now they're trying to cancel poor Guy Fieri. These people are unbelievable. Trump derangement syndrome is a real disease. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Scott listening to us in the beautiful state of Maine, WLOB. Scott, by the way, have you guys gotten those torrential rainstorms yet?
Yeah, it's pouring right now.
Wow, it's terrible. We've got some video up on the website of what's happening in New York with the mudslides and these floods. That's nothing to mess around with.
No, it must be that global warming. You know what I'm talking.
don't tell John Kerry that. All right, Scott, help me figure this out. So you have a theory about why DeSantis is not gaining ground?
Absolutely. He's hitched his wagon to the rhino train. He keeps saying how much money he's building up. Where people know where the money's coming from. You know, when you have, you know, Jeb Bush and people like that giving you money, that's a problem.
Somebody said he was weird. That was on Fox News Channel. One of the pundits said the guy's weird. And I'm not ready to make that jump just yet, but it's just something is not quite right. It's not clicking. Even with Melania Trump, who's very quiet, very soft-spoken, yet she had this appeal, this attraction to the American people, and they with her. And even Mrs. DeSantis, who's a beautiful woman, incredibly intelligent, a great mom, survived cancer, has an incredible story. And yet even she is having a difficult time connecting with, you know, the average American. And it just I'm just having a hard time understanding it.
Well, I think it's all the same reasons why everybody liked Trump is the same reasons they don't like DeSantis.
Interesting.
Trump is the real deal.
Scott, and that could very well be it. And I think he is the real deal. And you see that at these events when he's going to UFC Fight Night in Vegas. I mean, these are, by and large, I mean, yeah, you've got the high-dollar celebrities out on the floor. But by and large, you're talking about tens of thousands of blue-collar men, women who love America, understand that men are men, women are women, and they're sick of what the left has done to this country.
Absolutely.
All right. Scott, appreciate that call. Again, our telephone number, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. You know, what's dangerous for DeSantis here? And especially if he's only generating 20% of Republican support in his own state, that tells me something else is going on here. And it may or may not have anything to do with DeSantis. It may have everything to do with Donald Trump. I mean, that could be what it's all about here. But the DeSantis campaign is perhaps the worst run presidential campaign in all of American history, aside from maybe Dukakis. Okay, and Mondale. Okay, and Jimmy Carter, too. But anyway, outside of that, it's a horribly run campaign. And there's a report coming out of Iowa, and I'd love to hear from our good friend Jeff Stein from KXEL, our great affiliate in Waterloo, Iowa. I'd love to get his take on this. But somebody sent out these flyers and these mailers that went out to everybody in Iowa. And the mailers are from a what you would think would be a gay rights group supporting President Trump and thanking President Trump for being a pro-gay president. Now, let me say this. Iowa is very conservative and very religious. And so the point of this is to attack President Trump, not to celebrate President Trump, but to attack President Trump. And the reporting is that these ads are coming from an organization connected to the DeSantis campaign. Now, this comes after a just vile anti-gay video was boosted by the DeSantis campaign. That has now since been removed from play because the blowback was so great. But basically, DeSantis is trying to convince all of you Christians out there, oh, Trump is really not on your side. He's actually pro-gay. And the question is that going to impact your vote? Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Cut 15.
Yeah, Jonathan, look, Casey DeSantis is a fairly compelling political figure in Florida and now nationally. For many, she's the brighter side to Florida's angry governor. For others, she's become America's Karen. And I think that's the ultimate disconnect here with a campaign that needs to embrace more constituencies to get to the White House. Look, she is a more effective messenger than Ron DeSantis. But if all she is doing is amplifying the wrong message, she's actually clarifying Ron DeSantis's weaknesses. And so this ideology, the DeSantis doctrine, if you will, that our culture wars are the most pressing moments and we are going to invent these culture wars to terrify voters, that's simply not a message that resonates. So as I like to say, it doesn't matter if it's presented in heels or boots, the DeSantis doctrine's a losing one. We're going to learn that the more Casey DeSantis gets out there.
Tara, I think David's beaten you in terms of taking my breath away during a segment. But real quickly, because I do want to move on to Mike Pence for a hot second. America's Karen, David Jolly.
Well, I called her this, you know, Serena Waterford wannabe needs to cut it out. We see you. So there's all kinds of names for her. She needs to stop trying to measure the great drapes in the White House and think that she's some kind of Jackie O reincarnate. I mean, Casey DeSantis, keep an eye on her, though. She's a wily figure.
All right. So they're attacking the DeSantis's. And excuse me, I got a little coughing fit here today. We're going to get into more of that coming up after the break. But the concern for DeSantis, and let me go back to this, but the concern for DeSantis is if his numbers continue to pull this dramatically low, there's no way that Donald Trump would ever put him on the ticket because he's not generating support, even in his home state. But I think there is an issue about authenticity, and I think that's ultimately the big issue here. Donald Trump's authentic, but all you Christians out there, is that going to impact your vote? Ron DeSantis wants you to believe that Donald Trump is pro-gay, that he's pro-transgender, that he really doesn't care if the teachers are going to come after your kids in the classroom with the LGBT crap. So the question at this point, ladies and gentlemen, are you buying that argument? Is that an argument that's going to result in more votes for Ron DeSantis? Because he also does risk alienating every gay conservative, gay Republican out there. Now, some of you Christian voters may say, well, we don't want the gay votes. Okay, that's fine. If you don't want the gay votes, that's fine. But how are you going to win your elections without them? Is there going to be some sort of a purity test within the party now? That's what Ron DeSantis is wanting, a purity test in the Republican Party. 844-747-8868 is our number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy, and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders, the skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out. We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together, bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico to keeping kids healthy in Kenya, from sustainable farming in the Philippines to education in Kosovo, we learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff? To go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Wow, this is really sad. President Biden over in the UK, and maybe he, again, we don't know whose cocaine that was discovered, the dime bag, but it could possibly have belonged to the president. And I only say that, and again, I have no evidence other than some very bizarre behavior where clearly the president did not get whatever that special topping was on his porridge or oatmeal this morning. The king of Britain, King Charles, is physically having to manhandle the president. They were doing a review of the king's guards. Those are the guys with the big furry hats and the red uniforms that stand outside Buckingham Palace. Anyway, you're not supposed to talk to him, and Biden goes up, and we have the video over on the website. Biden walks up to one of the guys, and he's just starting to talk to the fella. And King Charles is trying to explain to Biden, no, you need to come this way. And he physically has to move the president. And then once they're inside Windsor Castle, Biden's trying to wander off. And King Charles is having to corral the president. It's embarrassing. Jeez, aloo. Keep the guy at home. Send the First Lady, Mrs. Dr. First Lady Jill Biden. But that guy doesn't need to be out there cavorting with any of our allies. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Gene in North Carolina, WSIC, our great affiliate there. Hi, Gene, what's on your mind?
Hey, thank you. I have a concern that Brett Baer is not truly a conservative. And did I not read that he will be one of the moderators if there is a debate?
Yes, there is going to be a debate in August in Wisconsin, I believe in Milwaukee, and Brett Baer is going to be a moderator. And Gene, I think you're right to be concerned, but what leads you to believe that Brett Baer is not a conservative?
It was you that said he wasn't truly a conservative.
That is,
if you remember the last one,
yep.
Savannah Guthrie could not close her mouth long enough to give Trump a chance to answer. And Chris Wallace was really pro-Biden. And so that was a disaster. And besides that, Trump was getting sick with COVID. Do you remember?
I do remember. And I did say that Brett Baer is not a conservative. He is not a conservative. And I think he demonstrated that, and he's demonstrated that with his interviews and with his soft glove approach to Ron DeSantis. So I don't think Trump would get a fair shot. Regardless, Gene, I still hope he shows up and he debates.
Well, who decides? And who decides who the moderators will be? And does he have to take what they give him, or can he not ask for a Republican?
Well, they can ask, but normally that decision is left up to the networks.
Okay. Well, Brett Baer has a sneaky look about him.
No doubt about that. You're not getting a single argument from me on this, Gene. I've been saying this from day one, and people just have to pay attention, just like with the Ron DeSantis crowd. His campaign staff is the worst I've ever seen, and they're really going to, if they're not careful, or if he's not careful, they're going to end up ruining his political career.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to run that by you.
All right.
You were the one that I heard say that.
You did.
And I was hoping it wouldn't be Brett Baer. But anyway, we hope for the best.
Yes, we do, Gene. We certainly do. Thank you for that call. You know, by the way, just think about this. All these people that are upset with Guy Fieri for shaking hands with Donald Trump at UFC, at the right outside. I mean, they all had front row seats on the Octagon. And by the way, Trump was actually invited to sit at the broadcast table right next to Joe Rogan. But what gets me here is these people in the mainstream media are so upset at Guy Fieri for shaking Trump's hand, but they're not at all concerned about the fact that Joe Biden took butt-naked showers with his own daughter. Anybody want to try to explain that one to me? I mean, that's the level of perversion that exists in the mainstream media. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, have you seen the movie yet, The Sound of Freedom? I have never seen so much blowback out of a movie. It is a box office hit, and Hollywood is enraged. How dare you? How dare a film make money, and how dare a film expose the ugly, perverted underbelly of our nation? Who do these people think they are? Well, look, this is an important story, and you talk about child trafficking. This is a very clear and present danger in our nation. By the way, to give you an example, in Nashville over the weekend, there's a beautiful suburb called Franklin, Tennessee, multi-million-dollar homes there, very wealthy community, a lot of the country music stars, they all live down in the Franklin area. And a guy who was a local soccer coach left his cell phone behind in a restaurant. They were trying to figure out whose phone it was. And so they noticed it was unlocked. So they're scrolling through the photos trying to figure out who this guy is. And they stumble upon video and photographs that were just horrifying. And it turns out this guy is now accused of raping little boys. And in many of the cases, the little boys had no idea because they had been drugged. And all of this evidence was on the phone. So now this guy's in jail, and people are trying to figure out, okay, how do we figure out, you know, who the victims are and how many victims there are, because this guy was a very popular soccer coach in the area. And quite frankly, the guy deserves to get the death penalty. As a matter of fact, for a lot of these sex crimes, if they implemented the death penalty, maybe, just maybe, that would make people think twice before going out there and violating a child. So anyway, The Sound of Freedom talks about an issue that needs to be talked about. And Hollywood and the left, they're enraged over this. And they're trying to get it shut down. By the way, there are reports all over America of packed theaters, sold-out theaters, spontaneous standing ovations. When was the last time that happened at a movie? Also, there are some reports that some theaters are actually turning off the air conditioning because they're not excited. They're not excited or thrilled about showing this film. But it does make you wonder. You know, they laughed at a lot of people over the years, and there were the folks, they called them the QAnon crowd, and how, oh, there's no such thing as a pedophile ring in America, that it's really not that big of a deal. Well, guess what, folks? Sound of Freedom clearly shows that child sex trafficking is a real, clear, and present danger. And that's why the left wants to shut this down. And they can't, as Rolling Stone, by the way, one of the most egregious interviews and stories, the headline, Sound of Freedom is a superhero movie for dads with brain worms. And they literally want you to believe that none of this is happening, that it's really not real, that there's no such thing as pedophilia. Well, not only is there such a thing as pedophilia, now they're trying to mainstream it and normalize the behavior and add that to the rainbow flag. They call it minor attracted persons. So anyway, I'm curious to know if you've gone to see the movie. I'd like to hear your thoughts on this because it's getting destroyed in the mainstream media. but clearly a lot of people are going to see this film. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on it. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. But good job, Jim Caviezel, because they're getting the word out here on what is clearly a very nasty problem in America. All right. There is a new survey out. Have you heard about this one? If you're sending your kid to college, don't send them to Brown University because there's a good chance they could turn out gay. You're gonna send little Billy to the university, and at fall break he's gonna come back and he's gonna identify as one of the L's, the B's, the T's, or whatever. Well, I don't think you could identify as an L, but who knows? A new survey revealed that 40% of Brown University student population now identifies as gay or lesbian or bi. So when I say gay, it's just kind of all-encompassing. Can we, just for the sake of the argument, because it's LGBT, it's a bit cumbersome to say. So when I say gay, I mean everybody. I don't just mean the gays. So anyway, that's over five times the national rate. So they want you to literally believe that 40% of Brown University student population is gay. Now, last year, Gallup did a survey, and they determined about 7.2% of American adults identify as non-straight. Now, nationwide, nearly 20% of 18 to 25-year-olds say they are gay. So again, that's over five times the national rate for college kids. So what's going on here? Anybody want to talk about this? What's going on? Are we literally in the middle of some sort of like Darwin evolutionary event where never in the history of the world have so many people just spontaneously combusted and become gay? But I don't think that's it. I think what we're looking at here is some sort of a social contagion. Now, I wrote about this in my book, Culture Jihad. How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. And for at least the past 20 years now, we have seen a significant effort by the left to radicalize our schools. And that's why they're getting kids as young as 3 years old now and trying to convince them that they're non-binary or genderqueer. Now, the issue here is to confuse your kids. That's all this is. And one of the things, especially in public schools, I mean, they have a whole month of celebration for the gay kids, right? So if you're a kid in school, you want to be celebrated, you want to be accepted, and you want to be cool. And now in public schools, it's cool to be gay. So a lot of these kids decide, you know what? I want to be cool, so I'm going to be gay too. And that's how it works. And by the way, what has the transgender movement taught us? Well, first of all, the gay movement, right? The gays and the lesbians told us, no. You can't become gay. You're born that way, right? You're born that way. Isn't that what they told us? There was like this huge advertising campaign. You are born that way. But then transgenderism comes along and we discover, turns out you're not born that way. You can identify that way. So which is it? You can't have both ways. So the goal is to confuse your kid. That's what this is all about. They want you to think gay is cool. So therefore your child becomes gay to be cool. All that to say, homeschool your kids and send them to Liberty University, not Brown University. All right, we got to take a break. We will go to the phones. Would love to hear from you on this, the Sound of Freedom movie, and to get your take on it. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Let's get over to the phones. Lisa in Georgia, WDUN, our great affiliate there. Hi, Lisa. What's on your mind today?
So my friend and I went to see Sound of Freedom on Friday.
Is that right? What was there a big crowd in the theater, Lisa?
It's the most people I've seen in the theater in the last few years.
Wow.
So, yes. There were a lot of people in there, but so I didn't want to go at first because I was afraid it was going to be too graphic and I didn't want to see that. And it was not. It was very tastefully done, but horrific because of the nature of what the film is about. But my friend and I, when we got outside, we looked at each other and said, we've got to do something. We've got to do something about this. God's children are not for sale.
Lisa, you're absolutely right about that. And it does make you wonder, because you're right, people don't like to talk about it. It's just a horrible, horrible topic, and you can't imagine. It's almost unimaginable that people would do something like that to a child, but it is happening. And the concern I have is why the left is so anxious to try and shut this movie down. Why is it they don't want people to know about it?
It's because it makes so much money. In the film, they say cocaine can be snorted once, you can sell it once. But a child, you can sell five times a night.
Mm.
They make billions and billions of dollars off of it. It's all about the money. It's all about the money. And so I came home and researched a lot. And one of the big things that we need to do is we need to have that wall at the border. So when those kids come through, they can be screened. Because what's happening right now, these kids are coming through, and then on the taxpayer dollar, they're sent to their, quote, sponsor, end quote, with no vetting, nothing.
No, and if you remember, that was a big...
We're paying for it.
Yeah, and if you go back to the Trump administration years... And President Trump tried to crack down on that, and he gave orders, hey, look, these kids are coming across, and we don't know who these adults are. In many cases, there was no evidence that the adult bringing the child across the border was actually a parent or an official guardian. And go back and remember the news coverage of that, and they accused President Trump of ripping the babies from the hands of the guardians. When in fact, what the Trump administration was trying to do was to protect these kids from these horrible sex traffickers.
Yes, no doubt.
All right. Well,
it's all about the money.
There you go.
Everybody, go out there, watch the movie. Watch the movie. Come home, do your research. Support Tim's OUR, Operation Underground Railroad. That's all they're about, is saving those children.
All right. Lisa, appreciate that call, and thank you for listening. 844-747-8868 is our number. That's 844-747-8868. You know, one of the networks has really been promoting the film, our good friends over at Newsmax. And, folks, I'm telling you, every week I hear more and more of you sending me a message saying, Todd, we've made the switch to Newsmax, and I say good for you. You know, every night, Newsmax, they offer a powerful lineup. Greta Van Susteren, Rob Schmidt, Eric Bowling, Chris Plant. They are giving you the truth every single night. Newsmax is real news you can trust, and now you need to be voting in Newsmax's national poll. They do this every week, and we would love for you to take part. So text the word Trump right now, Trump, to 39747. That's Trump to 39747, and you can vote right now in the Newsmax poll. Make sure that your voice is heard. Newsmax is now America's fastest-growing cable news channel, and they cover all of the candidates. They're the ones that are covering these Trump rallies live on air. And be sure to vote again in the Big Trump poll. Text Trump now to 39747 and let your voice be heard. All right, folks, coming up, we've got some great guests, including the governor of West Virginia, Jim Justice, is going to be here. Also, we're going to be talking to a young college student who has drawn the wrath of CNN. We'll tell you what that is all about as well. Plus your calls, a lot more news coming your way. Hang tight, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Stearns.
That's us. That's right. I love.
first American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of The Big Show. This is the Todd Starnes radio program broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the Fruited Plain. And, folks, we've got a lot happening this hour of the show. Coming up, the governor of West Virginia, Jim Justice, who's running to be the next senator from the great state of West Virginia, will be joining us. So that'll be a fun conversation. We're also going to be taking your calls as well. Our telephone number is 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Well, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. There is a young college student who has, man, really triggered the mainstream media. I think the New York Times called him an instigator. And CNN recently published a column that accused our next guest of trying to bully people into silence simply because he called out an anti-white professor at his university. His name is Daniel Schmidt. He attends the University of Chicago and joins us this afternoon. Daniel, hope you're doing well.
Hey, thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm well. So are you surprised? I mean, did you start out by making a note in your journal saying, I want to trigger the national media?
Well, I certainly knew it was going to happen because, I mean, if we're just being honest, these media outlets, they expect college kids to sort of be quiet and do nothing. I mean, even the conservative kids at my school, you know, a problem I have with them is they never do anything. I mean, I see these egregious examples over and over and over again, and I'm looking at them like, hey, are we going to say something? Are we going to protest? And they're always like, it's too risky. And that always gets me so annoyed. So I'm not surprised at all. And I mean, if I'm being honest, it makes me think I'm actually doing a good job and I'm effective. So it's more actually like a compliment at this point.
Were you always this active, though? I mean, you have been able to interview Tucker Carlson. You were just on with our good buddy Jesse Waters a few days ago. Did you start out thinking, okay, you know, this is what I want to do. I want to be a political commentator.
Well, you know, if I'm being honest, I actually come from a single mother household, my mom has always just sort of encouraged me to speak up, to do what I believe. I'm a very devout Christian, so it's not even more a career thing. I just feel something in me to speak up, and I feel like maybe a lot of people listening can relate to that. There's just so much wrong going on in the world right now, and, you know, something I want to show other students if they're listening or if they follow me on Twitter is, you know, I'm not some powerful kid. I have a Twitter account, and I've just been posting stuff, and I've had success. And so I want to show, like, a kid's voice, a student's voice, is actually more powerful than you think, because these people are so wrong. They're so fragile. If you just shine light on what they're doing, you will actually see results, and that's what I've found out.
I was impressed with something you wrote, and on Twitter, I want to read this to our audience. As a white student at an elite university, elite universities want students who will obey the ruling class without question, so they must blacklist the group most likely to challenge the system, middle-class white people. Affirmative action did that. I mean, that takes a lot of man parts to write something like that and post that on Twitter.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm pretty much a middle-class white kid, and when I went to UChicago, which is considered an elite university, I couldn't find any other middle-class white people, so I must have slipped through the cracks or something. Maybe it was a mistake in the admissions. Who knows? But it's what I've come to realize, because I come from a small town in Tennessee, which I understand you're also from Tennessee, and all the kids in my school were middle-class white people, and they all were conservative, Christian, you know, Trump supporters or conservatives in general. And I'm thinking, there is no way Harvard, Yale, these elite schools would ever admit these people, because they know they're more likely to oppose the system. They want kids who are not going to question what the ruling class tells them, who are going to go in these financial jobs, these White House jobs, and just sort of do what they're told. And, you know, the sort of people that Trump appealed to, that's the precise group that these elite schools want to blacklist. And it's just, I've seen it firsthand.
I'm impressed that you used the term anti-white, because that's what this really is. I mean, when you look at critical race theory, you look at all of the lingos and the workshops, this is all about putting the white person in their place.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, affirmative action is certainly also anti-Asian without a doubt. But when I go to my university, for example, as you mentioned, the New York Times just wrote a hit piece on me because there was a class taught at my university called The Problem of Whiteness. And I'm telling you, when I saw the class for the first time, I couldn't believe it. I mean, what is this insinuating, that there's a problem with white people and that there's a solution? I mean, this is, it's not an exaggeration to say we're entering like Nazi Germany rhetoric about white people, and it's scary. And, you know, I called a professor out, and then she tried to get me expelled twice because apparently I was harassing her, even though I just called her out for teaching a class. I mean, it is truly lunacy, but it has to be said, and you're exactly right. It is anti-white.
Daniel, I'd like to get your take on this report that came out over the weekend. 40% of Brown University's student population identify as LGBT. I mean, unless there's some sort of an evolutionary Darwin sex revolution going on, are you buying these numbers here?
Yeah, I mean, it's totally bogus, obviously. But as I mentioned in that, I posted about this on Twitter. When I went to UChicago, one of the first things I noticed was how many kids claim to be LGBT. I mean, I couldn't believe it. We're talking 20%, we're talking 30%. And according to this report, at these elite schools, it's 40%. I think there's two things happening here. I think number one, these universities are more likely to admit these kind of kids because, you know, they're oppressed apparently and they want diversity. But I think also number two is, you know, these kids to get into these elite schools and to sort of climb the ladder, they have to obey the sort of ruling orthodoxy. And as you know, currently, as we all know, the sort of orthodoxy is you have to be LGBT, you have to be lesbian, transgender, gay, bisexual, whatever. So it's definitely not like they definitely were not born this way. That's obviously, as you mentioned, there's no way evolution would cause that. But I think it's some sort of they're adapting to the current times. And it's like if you want to be the most oppressed person and have the most advantage, you have to be LGBT. The straight white guy is totally cast at the bottom.
I want to go back to something you said about fellow conservatives. Are you finding it hard for them to speak out? Because, I mean, it's pretty impressive that you're this vocal because and you're spot on the money with your assessment of things. But are other students willing to stand alongside of you?
The funny thing is, ironically, the conservative newspaper at my college fired me. They basically said I was too vocal. I was too, you know, I was causing too much trouble, and they actually fired me. So I'm kind of doing this alone, which, you know, I kind of figured would happen. But it's unfortunate because, again, I think if more kids, if more students spoke up, we would see even more change. Again, I'm just one voice. If we had 5 voices, 10 voices, you would see change. And I know there's a lot of risk in that, but it's like, are we going to just keep taking this or are we going to do something about it? I mean, of course, we have to sacrifice, but it just seems like things are getting worse and worse and worse. I mean, even 10 years ago, we didn't see 40% of kids are gay at a university. I mean, this is insane. So there has to come a point where some brave students come out and say, listen, we have to say something, we have to do something. And that's sort of my goal, is I want to hopefully inspire people and show, hey, this is what I've accomplished. This is what you can also do if you speak up.
Well, very impressive. And now you mentioned you were from Tennessee. What part of Tennessee?
From Hendersonville, near Nashville, Tennessee.
Right outside. Yeah, absolutely. You see, this all makes sense now, Daniel, because you're a volunteer. You know, whenever there's a fight to be had, the Tennesseans are the first there to fight.
Absolutely.
So good for you. And look, let's stay in touch. Let us know what's happening here. And I know there are millions of people around the nation listening to you right now, and they're going to be supporting you 1,000%.
Hey, thanks so much. And if you want to support me, you can follow me on Twitter at Real D Schmidt. That's the word real, the letter D, and then S-C-H-M-I-D-T. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right. There you go, folks. This guy is a fighter, and I love it. And it's I wish I could say I was surprised that the conservatives were not, you know, were doing what they're doing, but I'm not all that surprised because standing up sometimes, you know, there's a price to pay for that. But this young man, clearly, he is on the right side, which is God's side, by the way. All right, 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. You know what's interesting about the University of Chicago? This school was actually founded by a massive donation, I think $35 million, from John D. Rockefeller, as in Rockefeller Center Rockefeller. And a lot of people don't realize that Rockefeller was a devout Baptist. He taught Sunday school. He was very involved in the church, and he founded the University of Chicago, you know, wanting it to be a religious school. And now here they are so many years later, and they're literally attacking students because of the color of their skin. What a sad state of affairs there. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will open up the phone lines. Our number, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders. The skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out. We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together, bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico to keeping kids healthy in Kenya, from sustainable farming in the Philippines to education in Kosovo, we learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff? To go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
Let's get to the phones. Let's go to Rocco in Georgia, WDUN. Hey, Rocco, what's going on?
Hey, Todd, how are you? How you been?
I'm doing good. Thanks for asking, Rocco.
Long time no talk. Hey, listen, I went to see that movie on Saturday night, and when it got over, yes, there was a standing ovation. And when the standing ovation ended, my brilliant and beautiful wife looked at me, and she said, "Where do those children and their families go to get reparations for what they just went through?"
Oh, wow. That's a great question.
I mean, they're in slavery, Todd. They're in human trafficking. They're being snatched on the streets all over the place. Where do they go to get repair, to get reparations, to get, you know, who do they see?
Yeah, Rocco, that's a fair statement and a fair question. Yeah, and it does put things in perspective, does it not?
Yes, it does. It's something that's happening right under our nose. And the lady called earlier and said, "We all have to do something." Yes, we do. We all have to do something. I now have a government job where I'm riding around and I'm in the community, and I have a more keen awareness when I see something. I'm going to say something. I'm not going to turn a blind eye to something weird. My daughter works at Walmart now. She sees weird things go on. There are weird things that you cannot ignore any longer because it's happening.
Rocco, it's you're right. It absolutely is. And good for you. Good for your daughter for speaking. And that's, again, we hear it all the time. See something, say something. But folks, that's what it's really all about is paying attention and reporting anything that you might deem as suspicious. Rocco, appreciate that call. Let's go to Pat in Salem, Oregon. Hi, Pat. I know you saw the movie as well. What did you think?
I thought it was wonderful. I live in Salem, and come to find out, it was in another little town just across the river in Independence at a very small theater, and it was playing there already. So I was really surprised. It was packed. I do have a tip for people, though. I have a vision problem, and there are captions there. There's quite a bit of it is in Spanish, not a lot of it, but there's communication back and forth. Take somebody with you who can read the captions, because the captions go fast. And although you'll still get the gist of everything, but it's going to help if you know exactly what they're saying. And when they come to the towns of where it is in Colombia, don't try and say the name of the town. Just say Colombia.
I love it. Pat, that's good advice. Good, and so big crowd even in Oregon.
Right. And this was a very small theater, but it was packed.
Well, this is
surprised that it was at such a small theater in such a quick time.
That is interesting. All right. Well, Pat, this is good advice, and I'm glad to hear that. I'm telling you, folks, this is a runaway hit, a blockbuster, by Hollywood standards. I mean, beating out even Indiana Jones. By the way, how was the Indiana Jones movie? Anybody seen that one yet? I was concerned because the last one involving aliens, that was UFOs, that was a little weird for me. You can suspend reality, but that was a bit much even for me. All right. By the way, someone sent this story. I don't know why it's now surfacing again, but the Washington Post, speaking of Braille, the Baltimore Orioles became the first team to add Braille lettering to their game day uniforms so that the blind could I don't know how that works. Are the blind able to go out onto the field and literally feel the backs of the jerseys? I think that's pretty cool. But the Orioles actually have the Braille dots spelling out the word Orioles on the front of the players' jerseys, which is great, I guess, if you could see them. The Orioles also handed out Braille alphabet cards, which is pretty cool. Now, that is pretty cool. They were handed out at the ballpark. So, anyway, there you go. So, good for the Baltimore Orioles. It's the thought that counts, right? There we go. It's the thought that counts. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. All right, I've got to play this audio here. This is a dad. This has been going bonkers viral on social media. This dad is enraged. He took his kids to the doctors, and here's what happened, cut 13.
I'm literally on fire right now. I just got off the phone with my wife, who took my 9 and 7-year-old boys to the doctor today to get physicals for tackle football and school next year and all that other shit. My 9-year-old son went in first, and the first thing this woman asks him is if he identifies as a boy, a girl, gender fluid, or non-binary. My son, he's never heard of any of that shit before. You've been dealing with him your whole life. He is clearly a boy's boy. So what are you, trying to plant a f-ing seed in his head? The only thing I could be thankful for is that my wife took them instead of me. And props to my wife because she said something. And if she didn't, they would have asked my 7-year-old son the same question. This is ridiculous. And to the people out there to think that there's nothing wrong with that and I'm just a transphobe or all that, you're f***ed up. This is and there's something wrong with you.
All right, there you go. This, by the way, is the proper response that a parent should have when the doctor or the nurse asks those sorts of questions. And good for this dad for speaking out. And I can only imagine what the mom must have said. But my question to you, moms, dads, is this happening in your local doctor's office as well? You're bringing your little kids in, your little 9-year-old son or 7-year-old daughter, and are they asking your child whether or not they feel like a little boy or a little girl or non-binary? Is that really happening in your doctor's office? This dad is righteously indignant, and the key here is righteous. This is just unacceptable. So good for you, Dad, for speaking out and doing it tone tenor. I got no problem with it. All right, 844-747-8868. Is that happening now in the doctor's office? They always ask me if I own guns or I feel suicidal. We'll be right back, America. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Todd Stearns radio program. Hope you're doing well today. Now, we're big fans of West Virginia Governor Jim Justice on this program, and here's the reason why.
Baby dog tells Bette Midler and all those out there, kiss her hiney.
A Love it. Love it. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now is the governor himself. Governor, thank you for coming on the program today.
No, thank you so much. I can't believe you played that right off the get-go. I love it.
Oh, that's – hey, look, you and Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana, I tell you what, y'all have some zingers.
Well, we'll probably bingo off one another really good. That may be great for the nation or who knows what, but I admire him in every way. Super intelligent guy.
You know, Governor, you have really had a successful run, and I'm curious why the Senate?
Well, to be perfectly honest, there's nothing that going to Washington, D.C. that just, you know, blows it out of the water to me. But the reality is just really, really simple. You know, and I believe that, you know, if yourself or many, many, many great Americans were chosen, you know, in West Virginia, it just so happens that for whatever perverted reason, the people really like me, and I love them beyond good sense. And so I am the guy that is probably the only guy that can absolutely beat Manchin if Manchin chooses to run. And with all that being said, it's just as simple as this. I mean, if we're asking, you know, a little 18-year-old girl or 18-year-old young man to sit behind a rock and eat out of a can and get shot at, and we're not big enough to step up ourselves in this kind of situation, then I must not be much. And so I'll go and I'll do it and I'll do it right. And hopefully we can flip this whole Senate and get this country moving in the right direction, because God knows this way we're going right now is the most deplorable thing that I can ever, ever imagine. So that's it. I mean, the long and short of it, that's it.
Across the board, and I mean, it is from military, they're having a hard time recruiting people, and you can't really blame the young men out there for saying, you know what, I think we're going to take a pass here, because they see what the military's been transformed into under the Biden administration. And a lot of those guys, you know, they don't want to have to go through the whole transgender training and all of the, you know, to be criticized for the color of their skin, you know, with the critical race theory stuff. People are really frustrated. And you're right, it's not just the military, but the economy, you name it, the border. I mean, we've got dumpster fires burning all over this country, Governor.
Well, all that's correct. And it's just not the young men. You know, don't forget our young women. You know, it's just, but with all that being said, you're dead on the money. I mean, you're talking about splitting the bullseye with the dumpster fires burning all over the place. And the sadness of this whole thing is there's a lot of folks in this country that don't get that. They can't see that for some bizarre reason. You know, I mean, if you just think of reason and logic, I mean, how on the planet could somebody come up with something to say, let's defund the police? And it just goes on and on and on, whether it's energy independence, it's outrageous inflation, it's what's going on at the border and drugs upon drugs upon drugs, killing our people right and left, and we don't get it in a lot of ways, but we've got to get it, because if we don't get it right now, there's no chance that we can flip this thing in 26 or 28. And before you know it, if we go another 5, 7, 8 years of this, you know, we may not have America. And from that standpoint, we've got to stand up, and people, some way we have lost our way, but we've got to right the boat here, because it's just way too important. And the net of the whole thing to me is we're worth it. We're worth it. And so we got to do something.
Governor, I remember several years back when I was still at Fox News, Hannity's team sent me down to West Virginia for a full week. And we did a series on, you know, at that point, what Obama's policies were doing to the coal industry. And it just seems to me these attacks on the way of life for the good people of West Virginia, I mean, I'm not sure the average American understands what these Democrat policies are doing and the decimation it's causing in a lot of these communities.
Well, again, you're hitting really at home with me. I mean, just think of how we've depended on coal in this country. And for anyone that really believes that today we can do without coal or we can do without natural gas, you know, that may be a dream someday, decades maybe away. But if you really believe that we can do without that today, our fossil fuels, you know, you're living in a dreamland. And so unless we want to absolutely regress like we can't imagine or become so dependent upon foreign countries to bail us out, you know, and if you just think just this, today in West Virginia, you've got all kinds of people that are 7,000 foot underground, and they're absolutely mining coal that they can't even sit up in. They can't no way stand up. I mean, the total height of the coal mines may be 40 inches. And so with all that being said, they have given us so much. It's unbelievable. And for us just to turn our backs on it and destroy communities and everything else, I mean, how right can that be? So, and the other flip side of the whole thing is, you know, a lot of this coal is metallurgical coal, which goes to make steel, and some of it's thermal coal, but we can't do without base load today. It just makes no sense whatsoever. And you're talking to somebody that has embraced the alternatives. You know, I'm a real believer. Embrace the alternatives. Why can't we be one and all? You know, but with all that being said, you know, I think the worst thing is just forgetting those people that have given us so much.
Completely, completely agree with you. And on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Governor Jim Justice from West Virginia running for the U.S. Senate. You know, Governor, you've been a big supporter of President Trump over the weekend. I don't know if you saw the entrance he made at the UFC fight in Vegas. It was like a rock star hero's welcome, people cheering, the president high-fiving. Meanwhile, that same weekend, you had President Biden looking old and wrinkly and pasty at the beach, suntanning in obscurity. Nobody was coming up to greet the president. I mean, it really was sort of a tale of two presidencies, I suppose.
Well, it's just ridiculous. I mean, to think, you know, I mean, the best thing I could possibly say, if President Biden was my dad, there's no way on earth that I would let him continue in doing what he's doing. I mean, because I think it's humiliating to him and embarrassing to him.
Oh, dear. I think we may have lost the governor. It sounds like he was driving on that cell signal. And we will try to get him back. But we'll definitely get him back on for another segment because I want to hear more from him. Do we have him back? Do we have the governor back? All right. We got governor. We got you back. My apologies.
It's my fault and everything. But my whole thing about President Biden and going through these air handshakes and all the different stuff he does, if he were my dad, I would not let him do what he's doing. I would not let him continue because it is an embarrassment to him, his family, this nation. It is just, it's sad. I mean, when you look at it, it is just sad. I mean, bless his heart, he does not know where he's at. And he is the president of the United States of America. And from the standpoint of the celebration, you know, for Trump and everything, you know, I would be right there cheering and everything. I'm very, very close to the family. And I think the world of what, you know, President Trump accomplished. We all screw up and make all kinds of mistakes, granted. But for God's sake of living, you know, there's nobody can take away. He was a leader. He was a leader, and what we've got going on now is an embarrassment, and it's sad.
Governor, before we let you go, we're big fans of Baby Doll, and you know, if we were able to get you, I just want to hear the story about how Baby Doll came into the family.
Well, first of all, Baby Doll has turned into an icon, but with all that being said, it was not purposeful. You know, all of a sudden, you know, we had our first grandbaby. He's 2 years old. He was walking around on Christmas Eve, and lo and behold, then my son and daughter just reached this 10-week-old bulldog puppy right over my shoulder, and I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, this little rascal is going to grow into a 60-pound brown watermelon, and she has. And every night she's right in the bed with us, and I love her teetotally to death. But our grandson, you know, who was just a baby, just had turned 2 years old, he kept walking around all the presents and everything, and the little puppy was following around. But he didn't know the word puppy at that time. But he would say, where did that baby dog go? So we named her Baby Dog, and she's really something. Now, she, the neatest thing of the whole thing is she makes others smile, and she loves everybody. It doesn't matter who it is, young, old, black, white, rich, poor, God forbid, a Republican or Democrat, you know, but she loves everybody. And I don't know how the word, you know, could be any simpler than just that. If we could make others smile and we loved everybody, we'd be a hell of a lot better off in this whole world. And with all that being said, she brings a lot of joy to me, too. And through all this COVID stuff, it's been plenty tough on all of us. So it's been good. It's been, you know, she's really something. I got to tell you this last thing. I just had gallbladder surgery, and one of the nurses came in after the surgery was over, and she said, I should tell you this. I don't really know what this means, but you were coming to, and you as you were coming to, you said, tell Baby Dog I'm okay.
That's brilliant. Well,
my wife wasn't real happy with that, but
I imagine that. I probably wouldn't have shared that, Governor, but all right, we got to get you back on, Governor. That was a lot of fun, and we wish you the very best out there on the campaign trail.
All right, listen, thank y'all all right. for all you do every day.
Yes, sir. All right, Governor Jim Justice, everybody, out of West Virginia. That is a classic. All right, we've got to take a break, 844-747-8868. At least now we know the story of Baby Dog and how that all came about. We'll be right back. I wonder if I should have done it my Baby Doll impression, Governor. No, that wouldn't have been nice, right? You're listening to the Todd Starr. I can't do it. I'm sorry. I've got the giggles. By the way, here's Senator John Kennedy. He wants to weigh in on the White House cocaine story. Cut number one.
I don't know who did it. I don't know whose blow it was. If I probably shouldn't say this, but if my record was as bad as this White House's record, I'd probably give my staff blow too.
That's very inappropriate. Thank you, Senator. Senator John Kennedy. By the way, you can go back and listen to the interview we did with Jim Justice. Did he drop a bless your heart on Joe Biden? Did I hear that correctly? I think he did. During our interview, he dropped a bless your heart on Joe Biden. And he nailed it. The governor nailed it. He said this is really on the kids. But the kids in this case, we're talking about the daughter who he used to take a shower with buck naked, and then his son Hunter, who's doing cocaine allegedly, and so I'm not sure these kids really have the best interest of their dad at heart here, because the word is now that apparently Biden was basically blackmailing his own son and forcing his son to give him a cut of whatever money was coming in. I mean, it's, folks, it is a white trash in the White House kind of a family. And you hate to say that, but sometimes you just got to call it like it is. And that's the way it is. And now you know the rest of the story. But it's really unfortunate. But to Jim Justice's point, you know, if it was his dad, yeah, he wouldn't be in the White House. It's like, you know, you'd go to him and say, you know, Uncle Joe, it's time for you to pack it in. You've done the best you can do. But it's time to go to the old folks' home. Oh, by the way, where is that story? Axios, yes. So Axios has the exclusive report. This is terrible. Now, remember, the image that they wanted to convey was that, yes, Joe Biden may be 80, but he's just a lovable old fella. right? He's lovable uncle. Oh, that crazy Uncle Joe. Look at him sniffing the children's hair. Oh, that crazy Uncle Joe. Oh, look at him getting handsy with the 13-year-old. You silly old man. You. Oh, crazy Uncle Joe. Yeah, well, it turns out that that's not exactly accurate. It turns out that Joe Biden has a potty mouth. So folks are starting to leak over at the White House. And not that kind of leaking, Dylan. But they are talking out of turn. And Axios is reporting that President Biden has a really hot temper, and he's been lashing out at staff members with really language we're not allowed to use on the radio. And we're a family-friendly. I can't even get you into the ballpark of what Biden was saying. It's some pretty nasty stuff. Go to Axios if you want to read it. Anyway, the White House press corps has also been the victim of the president's ire. I mean, he's been just saying horrible things to people just out of the blue. You're sitting there and the president will say, well, Kamala, how's your day? And she will say, well, fine, Mr. President. Go blank yourself, Kamala. Wait, whoa, where that escalated quickly. What? So, I mean, it could be that, you know, the whole dementia thing, sometimes elderly people will just lash out and say things that they would normally otherwise never say. Or it could be that Biden's always been a jerk. So it's 50-50. What are you going to do? But we've all seen him go after Peter Ducey. And, you know, you've been out on the campaign trails where you disagree with the president. He'll get up into your grill. That's what the young people call your face. He'll get up in your grill and he'll just give you the what for. Really weird. So anyway, the White House is not commenting. I guess they're terrified to comment, right? But ladies and gentlemen, we always remember here on the Todd Starnes radio program, and we remember when Joe Biden got elected, there was a lot of talk, a lot of tittle-tattle, if you will, about some people in the White House. It was early on. There was a White House staffer who was really being disrespectful to the staff, and so Biden gave the guy the heave-ho. And why was that? Well, Biden told the reporters that he would not allow anyone and would not tolerate anyone on his staff being disrespected or cursed at like that. Just want to casually mention that to you, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we've got to take a break. When we come back at the top of the hour, we're going to be taking your calls. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, head over to our Instagram. We're loading up lots of videos, a lot of fun over on Instagram right now. Todd Starnes FNC. That's Todd Starnes FNC. Look for the blue check mark and join us over there as well. We'll be right back, America.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. I have to confess, I sort of stepped in it in social media, and I'm... This is terrible. So I was talking to the staff and they're like, you know, Todd, you need to post a few things that are not exactly political in nature. You know, people want to talk about other things. And so I thought, well, OK. And so, you know, I've posted a few things that have been somewhat, you know, non-political. But then apparently I stepped in it yesterday. I posted a question on our Facebook fan page, and it was a very simple question. The best mayo in the USA. What is the best mayonnaise in the USA? And I gave some choices, Hellman's, Blue Plate, Duke's, or Miracle Whip. Now, I was just trying to be fun, and it's, you know, it is sort of a, the only reason I came up with the question is I was in the market looking for Hellman's mayonnaise, and I couldn't find it, so I got the Blue Plate instead. And so anyway, I did not anticipate nearly 2,000 people weighing in on this conversation. I did not anticipate that at all, but almost 2,000 people weighed in. And many of you are very upset because you accused me of being a Yankee because I included Miracle Whip as actually a form of mayonnaise. So that apparently is a big, it's a problem. Candy says, Todd's Duke's, darling. I grew up on blue plate, but my son moved to North Carolina where Duke's is king, and I caved. Dang that twang. So I guess Duke's, which, by the way, is a good mayonnaise. It's a little twangy. I'm a Hellman's guy, but I do like blue plate. So anyway, Duke's seems to be the overall favorite. If Phyllis says Kraft, Jennifer says, I used to like Hellman's, but now they include bioengineered ingredients. Is that true? I had no idea. Harold says, I hate mayo. I would not touch the stuff until I discovered Duke's. And there you go. So a lot of people are just, I've never seen anything quite like this. But people are really, when it comes to mayonnaise, people are really serious about mayonnaise here in this country. Now some people are saying best foods. I've never had best foods mayonnaise. But I did go down, I had to go shopping, and I like to shop local, so I've started going to this place called the Super Low in here in Memphis. It's owned by a local family. And you can tell it's a southern grocery store for a couple of reasons. First of all, they have multiple variations of coleslaw available in the deli section, and the mustard slaw is pretty darn good. Put that on a hot dog, you got yourself a slaw dog. And that is summertime in the city. But I got some fresh tomatoes, and by the way, had my very first tomato sandwich of the summer, and it was pretty awesome. And that's why I needed the mayonnaise, by the way. So you got a little slather of mayonnaise, some white bread, tomato, a little salt and pepper, and you're good to go. Now, yes, I'm going to talk politics, but give me a second here, Dylan. I got to talk to the people about the food, because we're all about food here on this program. And so anyway, had a great tomato sandwich. Got some, what is it, the bunny bread? It's the bunny bread. I got some bunny bread, and it was very tasty. That being said, I'm looking for, so anyway, I got sidetracked, and I'm in the frozen food section. And only in a southern grocery store will you ever find this. First of all, to the shelf off to the side of the frozen foods, you had multiple variations of foods that were pickled. I'm not making this up. You can have pickled pig's feet, pickled eggs, the whole nine yards. So you have it's like a full array of pickled food products. And then in the frozen food section, there was an entire frozen food section dedicated to chitlins. That only happens in the South. And several of our listeners from the northern states actually had to look up what chitlins were. Actually, it's spelled chitterlings, but here in the South, we say chitlins. And it's like the people when they say New Orleans. You kind of know where they're from when they say, oh, we've been down to New Orleans. No, it's New Orleans, right? You can have chitlins in New Orleans. You don't eat chitterlings in New Orleans. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting. There's really no rhyme or reason to that, other than to say that I've apparently caused a great firestorm of controversy over condiments on social media. But, you know, we will humor you today. And if you happen to have a favorite mayonnaise, give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. All right, let's go to Patty in North Carolina. She wants to talk about Hunter Biden. Hi, Patty. How are you?
Hey, Hellman's.
Oh, yeah. All right. I'm surprised.
Hey, Todd, I'm originally from New Jersey. I grew up on Hellman's. I can't help it.
Look, I like Hellman's. Blue plate. I grew up on blue plate, but I'm surprised, Patty. I figured in North Carolina you'd be all about the Duke's.
Yeah, but I'm born and raised in New Jersey, and I moved to North Carolina.
All right, well that makes sense.
You know.
All right, well,
you know what? I did have Duke's though. I'll tell you the truth, Todd. I did have Duke's. I'm telling you, it wasn't bad.
It's a fine mayonnaise.
Right. Yeah, not Kraft. No way. That's a salad dressing. Anyway, please don't get me going on this. I got enough on my plate. Okay. Let me tell you something. I want to know. Did you see when they were on the balcony on 4th of July?
Oh, Patty, you're talking about the Biden family, 4th of July.
Yes, and
we
when
had
he
the video.
To the corner.
Mm-hmm. You saw the hand
come
go
on,
up
come
and
on,
the
Todd.
Sniff.
Come on, Todd. He was sweating. His hair was soaking wet. He went in the corner and he was touching his nose.
It's
come
true.
On.
That wasn't a pixie stick. I'll tell you that much, Patty. It wasn't a pixie stick.
Oh, my God. And, you know, this is on film. And people, you know what? I talk to these liberals on Twitter. What is wrong with these people? Are they that gaslighted, Todd?
Patty, you know, if you watch that video, watch Jill Biden and watch her hands.
They weren't even. Yeah, I know.
She was ready to remove the balcony. That she was. She if her grip was like it was like an iron grip.
Mm-hmm.
She was ready to smack him. Unfortunately, he already had smack.
Oh my God! But you know what? I'm telling you that video right there, and then you know the Secret Service. Come on, man! You cannot come up with who did. You're the Secret Service. Scooby-Doo could find out who did this.
You know, Patty, what's fascinating about all of this, a crime has been committed here. I mean, it is illegal to have crack. It is illegal to use crack. But also, this guy is a convicted felon. So at some point, you have to ask yourself, was he in proximity of the crack cocaine? And would this also impede whatever kind of deal they're trying to make with the feds on the tax stuff?
Yeah, you got that right. There's a lot of stuff here. I just can't, you know, God forbid if it was, if this was Donald Trump's family, you know, my God.
Oh, sweet Lord. Yeah,
you're
right.
You know, another thing, too, I got to say one thing real quick before I let you go. My girlfriend and her boyfriend were at the fight. In Las Vegas. They
is that
there.
Right?
He loves UFC. At the UFC.
With Trump and Guy Fieri and the whole
yeah,
guy.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
What? Oh. There must have been, she said, she said, no way did this guy lose the election, Patty. She goes, there are people, UFC fighters were jumping off the, coming out and shaking his hands. They loved him. They love him there.
Patty, every time I see the president at one of these events, and you're just like, I don't get it. You know, they really want you to believe that he lost, and I don't see any of those people voting for Ron DeSantis. I just don't.
No, Ron DeSantis. I'm going to be honest with you, but you know what? I'm going to say one thing. Casey DeSantis been through a lot. She had went through breast cancer and stuff. And the liberals, they are nasty people. Do not attack her.
She's a good like
this woman.
Look, she's a good mom. She's doing the best job she can. And quite frankly, they know that she's more popular than her husband is, which is why they've got her out on the campaign trail. So
leave her alone, man. She's been through a lot. Leave her alone. But, you know, they are nasty people, Todd.
Oh,
you
terrible.
Know that.
Terrible. Look, they're going to do that to the wife of any Republican running for office. They're going to try and destroy them. And you're right. They're very nasty people. All right, Patty. Good hearing from you.
Okay, Todd.
All right. Take care. We love Patty. All right. We're taking your calls on mayonnaise of choice. Should we give the preferences? You got the Miracle Whip. You got the Hellman's, the Blue Plate. You got the Duke's. All right. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. When we come back, we've got a couple of big problems in Memphis that could become national stories. There was a deputy sheriff who made a traffic stop. Something happened at the traffic stop, and one thing we do know that is clear is that the 21-year-old behind the wheel did not follow the instructions of the deputy. And so the kid sped off with the deputy still attached to the car. and dragged the deputy sheriff about 100 yards, and the deputy survived but was gravely injured. The deputy managed to fire off a shot and ended up striking and killing the 21-year-old. His name is Jarvian Hudsmith. And so now, and again, this is it's a tragic story, but it's a horrible story because this poor deputy was severely injured in this. And the deputy's crime here was apparently saving his own life. So now this professional race agitator has an attorney named Ben Crump, and he's coming to town today. They're doing a big press conference, a state representative, and they're all out there demanding transparency from the Shelby County Sheriff's Department. Now, they're wanting the body footage released, the whole nine yards. I don't have a problem with that. If there's dash cam footage, release it. Body cam footage, release that. But the idea that this kid is somehow a victim, when all he had to do was follow the directions of the deputy, and he would be alive today, and the deputy would not be in the hospital. Anyway, it's absolutely horrific what they're doing in this city, where clearly the bad guys are treated like, I don't know, like they're victims. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have Tariq in Memphis. We have Jeff in Georgia. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody, to the Todd Stern's radio program. So glad that you've decided to hang out with us today. By the way, have you made the switch to Patriot Mobile, America's only conservative Christian wireless carrier? They're doing some great work, and it's been so great to hear from many of you. You've made the switch to Patriot Mobile as well, and I've heard nothing but great things. By the way, if you want to switch right now to Patriot Mobile, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be supporting an organization that's fighting for causes you care about, whether it's the pro-life movement, whether it's the Second Amendment, and that's why it's important for us to support this really patriot economy, supporting organizations and companies that share our values. If you switch to Patriot Mobile now, use the promo code Todd. You're going to get free activation and a free gift. They have plans to fit any budget, no matter how big or how small. And veterans, first responders, they have some great discounts for you as well. PatriotMobile.com/Todd is the website. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Or you can give them a telephone call, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. And be sure to use that promo code Todd. All right, let's go to the phones here. Jeff in Georgia. Hey, Jeff, what's on your mind?
Just a little bit about the mayonnaise.
Yes, sir, Jeff. So what brand do you prefer?
Well, I was born and raised on Duke's and didn't know there was any other, especially when you have a mother that worked in a grocery store for 42 years in a row at the same place. You think that there wasn't any other until you heard someone say something different. So
it's funny how people, they get real particular about those kinds of things. And I had not had Duke's. I think I grew up on Blue Plate. But when I tried Duke's, I was out in North Carolina at an event. And I got to tell you something. It's a good mayonnaise.
Yes, sir. You got that right.
All right. Well, we got you down, Jeff. Appreciate you calling in.
All right. Take care.
All right. Take care. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Coming up this week, I'm actually going to be in North Carolina. I've got a couple of speaking events and looking forward to getting it's been a while, but heading over to North Carolina's Faith and Freedom Celebration. It's going to be held at the Mount Airy Wesleyan Church. And so we would love for you to come out and say hello. Again, that's the North Carolina Faith and Freedom Coalition, their big event. And it's a lot of fun. And by the way, Mount Airy, a lot of people may not realize this, but that was sort of the prototype, the blueprint for what became Mayberry. And they've got a great Andy Griffith museum there. And you can actually ride around. I don't know if you guys have ever done this, but you can actually ride around in the old squad car. And I don't know how much it cost, but I'm going to try to do that the next time. Well, I'm going to be there, I think, Wednesday and Thursday. I'm going to try to get a ride in one of the squad cars. I think that'll be a lot of fun. So anyway, you can, they have like a Barney Fife themed diner, Aunt B restaurant. So, you know, it's a lot of fun. All right. Let's go to Ernie on the line. Hi, Ernie. What's going on? I know you want to talk mayo.
Yeah, I do. I left New Jersey 22 years ago, and we called it mayonnaise, not mayonnaise, mayonnaise. Well, now I call it mayonnaise. And like most people from there, we grew up on Hellman's. And I used to see Duke's here, and I said, I'll never eat that yellow mustard, yellow mayonnaise. I'll never eat that. Well, 2 years ago, mayonnaise got real expensive. And I decided to try Duke's because it was a relative bargain. And guess what? Now I'm a Duke's guy.
Well, there you go. So it was as simple as that.
It was simple as that. And my wife is a whole lot more Yankee than I ever was. And we keep two jars of mayonnaise here, Hellman's and Duke's.
So you have the best of both worlds, Ernie. I mean, you know, you can't ask for more.
The moral of the story is don't criticize it if you haven't tried it.
Ernie, wise words, sir, from the Talk Station out in North Carolina. That's over in the Morehead City area, folks. Ernie, appreciate that call. 844-747-8868. That's your phone number. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. We're playing funky music, not just for white boys, but for all of America. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. By the way, Todd Starnes, FNC, that is our Instagram page. And we're throwing a lot of videos up. It's, man, the engagement's been really insane. So well done. You know, I'm not one of these young, hip, cool social media influencers, but we're attracting an audience there, so go figure. This is an interesting story out of California. Hannah Grossman is the author on FoxNews.com. A California school district has suspended two children for 5 days. Holy cow, what did they do? The school district suspended the children for 5 days after they... I'm going to have to read this verbatim. A California school district suspended two children for 5 days after a misgendering incident took place. Dear Lord, what is that? The children were then subjected to a training session called Restorative Justice. That's according to an email reviewed by Fox News Digital. This happened at Herbert Hoover High School, Glendale, California. The principal described two students who misgendered a transgender child and then ran away as the teacher attempted to correct them. Quote, I suspended two children for 5 days each today and will be conducting restorative justice with students and teacher for misgendering. Jeez, aloo. The students admitted to being curious about a transgender person. Why would they not? It's kind of weird, man. So I'm curious here about the restorative justice component of all of this. What exactly does that look like? Do they strap the children into, like, machines? Do they put them up on a slab, and then they've got the belts, and they tie them in there, and then they, I don't know, they connect these devices to the frontal lobes of their brain, and they give them shock therapy to accept transgenderism? What exactly does that look like? I'm very curious. Anyway, parents are very upset about this, as well they should be, and simply for using the wrong pronouns. But the school district is defending the actions here. They're saying that that the students are not allowed to use the inappropriate pronouns, and that restorative justice is simply a re-education of students and gaining control over a situation based on the perceived wrongs they committed. So it's all emotional. Interesting. So what does this process look like? Well, according to Fox, the person making, so they have these things called restorative justice circles. And you sit around in this circle, and they ask questions. What is the greatest value that guides your life?
Jesus.
What gives you the most security?
Jesus.
If you could smash one thing, what would you smash?
Satan.
I'm just answering these for you here. Describe the ideal family.
Jesus.
No, that would be mommy and daddy. And then the little children. Little boy, little girl, two little boys. I don't know. The district says when there is harm or conflict within the established community, restorative responses help to repair the damage. I'm still thinking they strap the kids to gurneys and they stick electrodes into their brains. That's what I think is going on here. Anyway, good for the moms and dads to be riled up about all of this. By the way, I'm not sure who sent this to me, but it's one of the greatest prayers of all time. You know, NASCAR, unfortunately, is going woke. I hope that we can save NASCAR. I love it's a great sport, and I really do hope that we can fix what is broken with NASCAR. But this was probably one of the greatest invocations ever delivered at a NASCAR game, NASCAR race, cut 14.
Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for all your blessings. You said in all things give thanks. So we want to thank you tonight for these mighty machines that you brought before us. Thank you for the Dodges and the Toyotas. Thank you for the Fords. And most of all, we thank you for Roush and Yates partnering to give us the power that we see before us tonight. Thank you for GM Performance Technology and the R07 engines. Thank you for Sunoco Racing Fuel and Goodyear Tires that bring performance and power to the track. Lord, I want to thank you for my smoking hot wife tonight, Lisa, and my two children, Eli and Emma, or as we like to call them, the Little E's. Lord, I pray you bless the drivers and use them tonight. May they put on a performance worthy of this great track. In Jesus' name, boogity, 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 amen.
I love NASCAR. I love the South. I just love that. We're going to get this preacher on the air. We got to talk to this preacher. His name is Joe Nelms. What a great patriot, and what a great prayer. He's got to be a Baptist, right? I think he is. He's got to be a Baptist. All right. I know it was random, Dylan. You got to spice things up. It's a Monday. You can't have, look, we've got a president that can't even make his way across London without help from the King of England. Do you understand how screwed up our country is? So, yeah, we got to have a little bit of fun. By the way, as bad as things are here in this country, at least we have not crowned a transgender Miss America. And the same cannot be said for Miss Netherlands. So, apparently, a transgender dude has now been crowned Miss Netherlands. And I don't know what the rules and regulations are, but it seems to me if you're going to be in a beauty contest in the Netherlands, somebody ought to check your nether regions. Clearly, that was not done because the winner has man parts in very inappropriate places. So the winner of this year's Miss Netherlands pageant, Ricky Valerie Cole, was in shock. By the way, he lifts his hands up in victory. Dude, if you're going to be in a beauty pageant, you got to get rid of the hairy armpits. Not a good look, sir. Anyway, he was very excited. He was named the winner to a soundtrack of a song called Unstoppable. I did it, he wrote on Instagram, educational and beautiful journey. I am so proud and happy, I can't even describe it, making my community proud and showing it can be done. Well, I guess it's, no, Dylan, no, I'm not, well, that's not an appropriate thing to say, Dylan. I mean, come on, that all the women in the Netherlands are butt ugly? No, I don't think that's inappropriate. I'm just saying that the prettiest woman in the Netherlands is a man. Mr. Cole wore a red gown and had his hair made up in a bun. I'm having to read this from the New York Post, and it's hard, so bear with me, because they've got all the pronouns confused, but I'm trying to work through this. He had previously been a runner-up. Anyway, the girls, and by the way, there are actually some good-looking gals there in the pageant, but they decided, you know what, we need to give a man the crown, a man in a dress. So our good friend Jim Gossett, just mere moments ago, has gotten, I don't know how he did this, but you know, back here in this country, we used to have Burt Parks, and when they crowned Miss America, old Burt Parks would sing the song as Miss America went down the runway. And they do the same thing over in the Netherlands, apparently. And Jim Gossett, our good buddy, was able to get a hold of them singing and saluting the all new Miss Netherlands, who's a mister. Let's take a listen.
There he is. He's Miss Netherlands. There he is. He's a guy. The dreams of a million girls were more than broken. Masculinity went unspoken. And Ricky turned out to be a sign of our woke society. 'Cause there he is, he's Miss Netherlands. To accept the win, that took stones. With so many beauties, it doesn't seem fair. Perhaps the others should grow a pair. 'Cause trans he is, with all his fans he is, and extra glams he is. He's Miss Netherlands.
Thank you. Thank you all.
All right, there's a brand new survey out. This is sort of fascinating. Do you have a pet? Cat, dog, little parakeet? According to a new survey, 97% of pet owners say their animals are part of the family. And you just heard West Virginia Governor Jim Justice on the show talking about Baby Doll, his pit bull. Not his pit bull, his bulldog, rather. And they say Baby Doll sleeps in the family bed and just treated just like one of the family. Nearly all pet owners, 97%, say their pets are part of the family. That's according to a new survey by Pew Research Center. More than half, 51%, even consider their animals as much a part of the family as their human relatives. Now, here's the bigger question. Who would you rather have over Thanksgiving? Would you rather have the family dogs, or would you rather have, you know, Aunt Sally Mae and Uncle Lester? I don't have an Aunt Sally Mae or Uncle Lester. According to that group, the group said that were found more likely to feel this way were women, people with lower family incomes, and urban dwellers. A pet owner's marital status was also found to affect the results. Those who are married and have parents and are parents to children tend not to regard their pets as human family members. However, unmarried pet owners and those without kids living at home do. Demographics such as age, race, ethnicity, on the other hand, did not have any consistent bearings on the study. Now, I am interested in this. It was discovered that dog owners tend to be slightly more attracted or attached than those with cats. 53% of puppy parents regard them as equals to their family, their human family. 48% of feline parents do. Is that true? Do you feel that way? I know we have a lot of pet owners in the audience, and I've heard from the cat owners. I'm not a big cat person. The survey also found that America is pet friendly. Oh, I believe that. 62% of U.S. residents own a pet. 35% have more than one pet. Now, if I did not travel so much, I think I would probably have a dog. You know, get like, now I don't know what kind of a dog, but, you know, the bulldogs are nice, but I think I would like, I don't know, a Labrador retriever or something like that. I don't know. But when that time comes when I'm not traveling as much, then I might consider a seek. And of course, I would seek the advice of this audience. I mean, you guys always give me great advice on things. Oh, by the way, we also did ask last week another survey. We had like 2,000 responses to that one about the best place to get barbecue in America. I mean, telling you, you guys, you know your stuff. So anyway, we're just getting ready for research as we're gearing up for the big book tour next year. And we'll be telling you more about that in the coming weeks. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Remember that lady, what was her name? Kelly, who sang Jill Scott. She sang the national anthem, and she desecrated America. She's an R&B singer, and she basically rewrote the lyrics, cut number three.
Oh, say, can you see by the blood in the street?
That doesn't make any sense.
That this place doesn't smile on you, colored child.
The rhyming is off.
Whose blood built this land with sweat and their hands? But you'll die in this place and your this is not the land of the free. But the home of the slave.
All right, enough of that. The home of the slave is what she was getting at there. And anyway, comedian Terrence Williams, taking a poke at this, cut number seven.
Well, you know how to sing, but you don't know the lyrics to the national anthem because that ain't it.
Mm-hmm.
And how you gonna sit up here and say, this is not the land of the free, when you can freely get on stage in front of the world, in front of everyone in America, and disrespect this country? And how can you say this is the land of the free when you are a wealthy black woman in America? You have more money than most white women that I know. But you can sit up here, but you want to sit up here and say that this is not the land of the free. You can't show America any kind of respect when you happen to be a rich black woman in this country. Get the hell out of here. Go eat some potato chips. Go do something with your time. But don't disrespect the national anthem.
Hmm. Hallelujah. By the way, in the words of Governor Jim Justice, kiss my honey. That's what we ought to be saying. Kiss my honey, baby doll. All right, real quick, let's go to Troy in North Carolina. Troy, what's on your mind?
Well, my wife's dad's name was Hellman, so you know the rest of the story there. So we had to put Hellman's mayonnaise and Duke's mayonnaise in the refrigerator, so we wouldn't have a debate about it. And right before she passed away earlier this year, she told me, she said, you know, honey, Duke's mayonnaise is really about as good as Hellman's. But until then, She wouldn't let me know that.
Wow.
So we always had that.
Wow.
But, you know, Hellman's is really good mayonnaise, but I've just always been Duke's because I'm a North Carolina boy.
Well, and you're a son of North Carolina and a good one, Troy. All right, appreciate that great story. Hellman's and Duke's. You got to be fair and balanced. All right, folks, so we got to scoot out of here. Been a great day. We're going to do it all over again tomorrow, so we look forward to seeing you. In the meantime, head over to ToddStarnes.com. Be good, America.